in Luke chapter number 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man. I want to remind you in the Bible, and there's no accidents in God's word. There's in the Gospels, you'll see the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, and you'll see the phrase, the kingdom of God. And if you'll study those two things out, you'll find the kingdom of heaven as being a literal, physical kingdom. Now, kingdom of God is literal also. It's a spiritual kingdom. The Bible talks about, and you can study it through, and you'll find that to be a fact. And the kingdom of heaven, represented by the fact that someday Jesus Christ will rule and reign on the throne in Jerusalem. And right now, that throne, oftentimes throughout history, the devil has sought to take that throne. And he sought to take the authority. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. And Satan has a large degree of authority in this earth as the kingdom of heaven, as Christ has not attained that throne just now. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, that's a spiritual kingdom. The moment you're saved, you enter into that kingdom, the Bible says. You study, you'll find that in the Gospels. The very moment you're saved, you enter into that kingdom. The only way to enter in that kingdom is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. In the millennial reign of Christ, there's works that are mentioned there, but we're not in the millennial reign of Christ. Amen? We're in the age of grace, and in this time of grace in the church. And for a person to be saved, the moment you're saved, you're born again, you're entered into the kingdom of God. So the Bible here is talking about a saved man. Jesus is talking about a saved man. He said, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The word fit, it means in shape. Doesn't mean he's not going. It means he's not in shape. It means he's not the right representative of the kingdom of God. You can take this verse out of context, say anything you want to say, but I'm going to tell you, this verse is not a verse in the Bible where we can just look at it and ignore it as Christians. As Christians, we need to be fit for the kingdom of God. As Christians, from the time God saved us to the time we die, we're on our way to heaven. But actually, we're already in the kingdom of God. We're already in a spiritual state. Our names are already written down there. You might say to a person, "I'm on my way to heaven," and you are on your way to heaven. But to the lost person, what we are is Christians. And as Christians, people watch everything we do. I mean, they're attentive to everything. And as Christians, we want to have a right testimony. One, we want to have the right testimony to the lost person. I'm a little old-fashioned, and I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that as Christians in this world, I believe, and I do know for a fact, that the lost people still watch Christians. They watch every move we make. Your neighbors that are not saved, they watch. People that you work with that are not saved, they watch. I believe a lot of times that lost people have a higher standard for Christians than what saved people do nowadays. I believe our churches have gotten watered down. Preachers, Brother Anderson mentioned the church and the preacher this week at the revival preaching on sin. You don't hear any preaching on sin anymore and right from wrong anymore. It seems like the preaching is centered on the gray area, not trying to draw the lines of principle of right and of wrong. And I'm glad that you read, if you're saved, you read God's word. Listen, you won't have a lot of question marks about, is this right? Is that wrong? Is this right? Is that right? Listen, you read God's word, and the word of God teaches you right from wrong. Amen. God's word draws a very clear line. And lost people know that. And if they don't know it, and they see Christians that live without standards and without principles, I'm going to tell you what, the devil will inform them that that's not the way Christians ought to live. That's a fact. You know it. Listen, lost people don't go around reading and studying their Bible. But they're lost. And the devil will point to them and show them every move a Christian makes and will use that to try to keep that lost person from getting saved. Let me say this just for a moment. If a person ever uses that excuse, they say, well, I'm lost. I'm on my way to, I'm not saved. But I tell you what, if that person's saved, then I don't want it. Friend, listen, that's silly talk. That's foolish talk. There's not a person in this world as a lost person. If I were one, there's not a person in this world that I would want to choose as my example if that person was going to lead me to a place where the Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Brother, listen, hey, Brother Mullins is saved. Brother Mullins, I believe he lives a good, godly example. But if I'm a lost man, Brother Mullins, and you're not living up to this book right here and living up to the Word of God, I dead sure don't want to let the devil cause me to go to hell because I'm busy looking at you. Amen? Listen, hey, and the truth of the matter is we don't look to each other. We don't look to each other's faults. That's what the devil does. What we ought to do is we ought to point people to Jesus. Amen. Listen, hey, as good a man might be, he might live it right and walk the line and do everything. But you watch that person long enough and they'll fail you somewhere. Somewhere along the line, they'll do something they shouldn't do. That's why we oughtn't make our ultimate example lost people. We ought to make our example as Christians. We ought to preach Jesus. Amen. Well, a lot of times churches get in trouble and preachers get in trouble and they set themselves up on a pedestal as if they never do anything wrong, as if they live a perfect life, sinless life. And boy, listen, when you do that, man, hey, there's people just waiting in any little area in your life. The devil's going to use that to hurt somebody else. It'd be a wise thing for all of us Christians, though people watch us, it'd be a wise thing for us to always be pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always deflecting the attention off of us and saying, look, hey, I've seen folks when my dad was alive. I've seen people come to my dad that knew dad and say, boy, you're a good man. I sure think a lot of you. And dad said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm absolutely no good. And he said, the only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. He said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, he'd testify in church growing up. He said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have to catch an elevator going up just to make it to hell. That wasn't a cute saying that he was saying. What was he doing? He was taking the attention off of him, though he tried to live right and do right. But listen, you won't get saved by watching Dale Bradley. You won't get saved by watching Brother Roger Mullins. I used two good examples. You won't get saved by watching Brother Anderson over there. You'll get saved, listen, because you see that Jesus Christ died on the cross and you accept Him as your Savior. Right. Now, as Christians, we ought to have good godly examples. I don't think I'll embarrass JB here when I say this, but I believe JB is a fine young man. I believe he's on the right course. I believe he's following the right course. I believe it's good for him to have grown up in church and in church see good godly examples and see other men and other do right and live right. But listen, hey, I grew up in church and I saw professed Christians. Hey, I ain't got time to be right on everything. Listen, growing up in church, I tell you, in my time in church, I witnessed. I'll just quit using that word. I witnessed people do wrong. Hey, I've seen people that were professed preachers that would fall. Yep. Boy, listen, I've had my heart hurt by the testimony of Christians before. But I'm glad that I didn't stop because somebody I knew stopped. Amen. I think it's a wonderful thing if you can grow up in a church and you can look and you can see a testimony like Brother Selby's and you can see that man and you can see other people and you can watch them and you can witness their life and you can see how they care. And boy, listen, I'm glad for Brother Selby the time I knew him. I watched as his wife had a stroke, and I would go by their house and do things for him. And Mom had told Miss Selby, always make sure that Travis eats. And brother, listen, I'm still losing weight that she put on me 4 years ago. I'd go by there and do something, and she'd say, you got to eat. Man, I would eat,
And listen, the grease and the potatoes, and there was half a pound of lard and everything. Amen. I was still eating the food for 4 days later. I could go on without eating, but I'd go by there, and Brother Selby was helping his wife, and she couldn't cook. I mean, she couldn't really do much anything, and she would stand behind him and tell him what to do. And she'd stand there and go over it. Boy, she still had her pride and her wits about her, and she was. I'd say, man, this is good food. I'd say, who cooked it? And he'd say, I did. And she'd say, no, you didn't, Jim. I did. And I'd say, that's right. And boy, listen, and I'd watch him. And you know, when she wanted to come to church, he would take time. He would dress her. He'd do her fingernails. He'd wash her hair for her. He'd walk her around the house. He would do that when he'd get her to the church. He'd go around. He'd help her out. Y'all seen that, brother? Listen, that's a good example. That's a whole lot better. Hurry up and get in. Hey, you, come on. I've seen some of that stuff too. But listen, I'm glad for a good godly example like that. Amen. Boy, listen. Hey, I'm glad for those types of things. I heard a preacher say one time, a long time ago, I heard a preacher from up in way up Michigan say this. He said, I don't want to ever become a collection of every great man that I know of every great man's worst habits. Why, I remember that, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. Listen, I look around here, and I'm not going to point anybody out, but I believe there's some great men sitting in this room right now. Every one of them's got flaws. I know even the ones of you say, no, I don't. Right, Tony? I know you deny you got it. But listen. Hey, I'll pick Tony out there. I watch Tony. I've learned a lot of things from Tony. Nothing I can share with anybody, but no, listen. I enjoyed me and Tony painted together some, and we talked some, and I think he's done a lot of good things, a lot of right things. There's a lot of things you can learn about raising your kids, I believe. Tony, I've listened to you and watched some things. But I'm going to tell you what, there's not a person in here that doesn't have some flaws. I can do one of two things, Brother Mullins. I can watch everybody, and I can say, well, so-and-so does it, I'll do it. And that's foolishness.
Right.
Well, they do it, and they're a good Christian. They're a deacon. Who cares? I remember in Bible college, I remember we were on our bus route, and we dropped our kids off, and the girls were all talking about, and what you do, it's your business, but they were talking about going to some restaurant and eating, and man, listen, and I really don't like to go somewhere where they got bars and booze and stuff everywhere. And the girl, they was talking, you know, and I was just kind of butting into the conversation, and I said, man, they asked me, I said, man, I don't really like it, you know, it ain't my favorite place to go, you know. And they said, well, all Miss So-and-so goes, she was the dean of women. I said, well, I know, but Miss So-and-so didn't die on the cross for my sins, you know. I mean, listen, that's just my answer. I mean, my example is Jesus. I want to live to please Him. And I want to use the good godly examples that He gives me, those that are fit for the kingdom of God. Even those that are fit and right for the kingdom of God, they're not perfect. I think about these young girls that come to church here. Boy, listen, I know all their homes and I know their situations. And I'm going to tell you what, hey, any little bit of influence any of you ladies show in their life is a positive. Because about 99.9% of them need good godly examples of what a lady is like. A lot better than you just say, well, what's wrong with them kids? I could tell you a lot of things. You got a book? So why are they like that? Man, listen, I got a book for that. But a big portion of it is they don't have good godly examples.
That's right.
Like you had. People that you can think back to your Christian life, people that were fit for the kingdom of God. What makes a person fit for the kingdom of God? The Bible says somewhere over here, Philippians, I believe it is, Philippians. Look where in Philippians chapter 3. Look, turn there with me just for a minute. I mentioned a moment ago I haven't been around the phone hardly all week. I haven't been in the house hardly all week. And JB's been helping me, and Harold's helped me some. We've been tearing the ground up and trying to plant stuff and get the garden laid out. And as you might have noticed, the sun was shining some yesterday and today. And I thought it would go away eventually, but it just stayed right up there all day today. And I should have made provision for that, I know. But I was plowing some. We plowed, and then we disced it, and then we made a drag and dragged the thing down. And And then we've got, at the house, we've got an old set of, this all stuff my dad, man, made. I mean, that same disc, Brother Mullins, that we use today, I watched my daddy use it when I was a wee little boy, and I'd ride the tractor with him. And that same plow that we used, I remember Dad hooking that up, and I remember standing by and watching him hook that old plow up. Rusty, doesn't look like it's worth a plug nickel, but how many times I've seen my dad hook that up, and that old set of discs, and when it come time to drag, to drag the garden down and level it down, he had an old piece of metal that I used to get to ride on. He had put me a stump, and I'd ride like I was on a chariot. And today I was down there and I fixed that up, and we made us up one and I put my boys on it. Boy, they had a good time on that. I didn't have much time to let them ride. I had to go ahead and get it done, but they had a good time on that. But when I was a wee little boy, that same stuff there, I watched my dad use all that stuff, and I'm glad that we could do that.
Yeah.
But there at the end, buried over in the edge was a couple pieces of angle and some spades and thing there laid out to make three rows with. Man, it sure doesn't look like anything they got at Tractor Supply, but it worked. Got the job done. Yeah. You got to get a little help with it. You got to help it along, nurse it along, but it worked. Now, as we were doing that, I'll tell my buddy Harold. Harold's not here, but I was letting Harold drive, and Harold's enjoyed learning to ride the tractor and do stuff. And he was driving at first, and the first set of rows, and I'm not picking on I'm trying to tell Harold there, but my first set of rows was like this. And we got to the end. I said, "Now, Harold, that ain't going to work, buddy." I said, "I was riding on the thing to add a little weight to it." I said, "Now, we're going to have to start all over." I said, "You're going to have to ride back here and let me drive." And then Jabe come over and helped me there, and we worked together on it. But you plant your spades and you get your rows and you get a straight line. And there's one thing you don't do when you're trying to make a straight line. Anybody know what it is? Look back. You don't look back while you're trying that, right? How many of you ever used a plow on a mule before? Anybody ever used a mule plow?
I've ridden.
You rode them? to Bethlehem? I'm just teasing. But you done that before, Brother Anderson? You've used them? What did you have to say to him to get him to work? Can you repeat it? They say that when Billy Sunday preaches revivals, they had to retrain the mules because the people couldn't talk to him the way they'd talked to him before after the revival came through. But when you get the plow moving, you got to go straight. Now, I'm going to give you a real quick lesson here tonight in that. And not in plow. Right. Taking a hold and looking back. You can't look back. Look what the Bible says here just for a minute. The Bible says, if by any means I might, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Notice that. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, there's one of my favorite words I told you the other day, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. That word perfect means mature. It means able. It means perfect in Christ. Everything that I need to get to heaven, it's all settled in Jesus. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen? So in Christ, I am perfect. You don't have to change the meaning of the word. In Christ, I'm perfected. I'm whole. Amen?
Right.
I'm whole in Christ. Let us therefore as be perfect, as be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Notice this, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them
which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. He said, mark them. He said to the church, the apostle said to the church, he said, follow us. One place he said, and I like, follow us as we follow Christ. Yeah. The word as, the assembly there, he said, as you see my manner, as the manner in which I follow Christ, he said, you follow me. He said, you follow Christ the same way I've taught you to follow him. And the way the apostle Paul taught them was he had a personal relationship with Jesus, and he wanted them also to have a personal walk with him. Every person ought to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not right. They're a poor example. They're not fit. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. The Bible teaches us about a man named Lot, that when Lot was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot had his family with him, and his daughter. The Bible teaches that Lot's family turned back. His wife turned back, and when she turned back, she became a pillar of salt. She looked back into the world which she'd come out of. She looked back into that and what it means. That, listen, I'm not going to try to get into all that right now, but one thing for sure is God doesn't want us to look back as Christians. He wants us to keep our eyes pressed forward, looking on Jesus all the time, to keep our eyes fit on Him. Listen to me just for a minute. Never look back, because we, as Christians, as we go down the highway road of life, we're laying a row where seed will grow someday. Listen, I could have got out there and we could have made those curvy rows like that and as long as we had them in there, but what a mess that would be. And listen, truth is, we could have done that, and then we could have gone by Mullins and we could have gone out there. Truth is, we could have just take the seed and throw it. It's gonna grow. But I tell you what, it's sure not gonna grow like it ought to grow. It's certainly not going to look much like much. Amen? It's going to be impossible to get in there and weed it and take care of it. And listen, hey, and when you put beans in the ground and you got crooked rows like that, it's kind of hard to stake beans like that. I mean, listen, to try to keep up with them and even corn. I guess you could get by with the corn like that if you wanted to. But the truth is, it's going to look silly. It ain't going to look like, it's going to look like whoever did it didn't know what they were doing, right? Isn't that right? Listen, hey, not only are we supposed to sow the right seed, but we're supposed to look like we know what we're doing. Why? Because we're an example for others to follow behind. Every Christian here, like it or not, is sowing seed. The Bible says that His word would not return to Him void. Boy, listen, there's nothing wrong with the seed, so what's important is that we lay the right rows where the seed will grow. The seed is good, and good will come from it, but there'll be more good if we plow straight. You see, the Lord said, when you take the plow, don't look back. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed forward all the time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, I believe this, Brother Mullins. I believe that you mentioned your funeral, mentioned about moving the pulpit, moving the thing over and preaching, and we'll do that. Amen. If we're alive, and that's what, amen. Hey, we'll preach and try to get some people saved and preach the gospel. Amen. But I'll tell you what preaches most at the funeral. A Christian's life is still preaching at the funeral. I believe that. Listen, hey, I when I die someday, man, hey, when I don't want my kids to have to apologize to the people as they come by. I want them to be able to do what I did, and when they come by and look at me laying there in the casket, I want them to be able to look by and say, one thing I know, listen, I know that my daddy kept his testimony right to the day he died. I know he kept his eyes on Jesus. He never laid his Bible down. He kept living for God. Hey, on the Saturday before the Tuesday that my dad died, he took an old boy out soul winning. And took him out to South Park, out trying to get the guy to go soul winning. Dad come in that day, and on that day at the church, and I said, Dad, how you feeling? He said, I felt better. He was real bad then. That Sunday morning, he was in church. I'd bought him a suit at the Goodwill down in the finest store in town. Amen. Bought him a suit at the Goodwill down in Milton. And I bought me one too.
And I had mine on Sunday, and he had his on. I didn't know that that suit I bought him for on Tuesday or whatever that week we'd bury him in the very next week. But he came to church, and he had his new suit on. We both had our new suits on. We were profiling, amen, in our new Goodwill suits. And he came that morning, and he felt good. That night, he helped me baptize a boy that had gotten saved. And listen, I seen him. Hey, but I'm glad tonight to know this. When your row is all finished, and you're all done plowing, don't let them look back and see a bunch of washy, wishy-washy, right, crooked right. things and a bunch of misplaces. Let them look back and see straight rows.
Okay.
Because there's seed going to grow back there. If you're a Christian, there's somebody watching you. That's exactly right. There's somebody watching. And you won't plow straight rows looking over your shoulder all the time.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you four things. Never look back. Never look back to the sinful habits of your past. But I love the Bible. I love what the Bible teaches. Jesus had some disciples, one of whom was Matthew. What was Matthew before he was saved? Anybody remember? He's a tax collector. Boy, to be a Jewish tax collector, the reason the Lord, I believe he saved him first, that's the vilest of the vile. I mean, you got to be pretty bad. You're despised and rejected. Boy, listen, and the only way a tax collector in the New Testament could make money was to cheat. He had to cheat the cheats. Do you see, the only money he got was commission for how much he took from people over and above what the government accepted. Boy, listen. So here comes Jesus, and Jesus saves Matthew, the tax collector. But answer me this. Who held the bag for Jesus' disciples? Was it Matthew or was it Judas? Hey, listen, I'm sure, in my mind, I envision this. I picture that a lot of people said, oh, let's let Matthew do it. Matthew said, I don't want to hold the bag. Why not, Matthew? I've had enough of that. He said, I've had enough bad experience. He said, y'all let somebody else hold the bag. You know what, as Christians, listen to me. As Christians, if you want to, as folks are watching you and you're living for Jesus, but listen, it'd be a good thing. Everything of the past and the things of the past, and I'm not talking about trying to be whatever, but I'm saying this, we ought to lay down the habits that cause our rows to look funny.
Right.
And we ought not quit. We ought to just look back and say once and for all, goodbye. Goodbye, old things. Listen, I can tell you this, that the course of my life as a Christian has been. Brother Mullins, I got your car. Don't mean to use your cars here, but throwing stuff behind me. I mean, listen, I've said a lot of stuff in my life as a Christian. Don't need that. The Bible says every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, let us lay them aside. I tell you what, listen, it's a wonderful thing as Christians to lay aside things that hinder your walk with Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. Just lay them aside. Throw them down. You say, well, what's going to happen? Doesn't matter. Throw them away. Forget about it. Act like you never seen it. Just forget about it. You say, but how can I live without it? Oh, Jesus will fill up the empty spaces. He'll take care of it. You won't even miss it. Just throw it away. Go on. Just keep pressing forward. Never look back to the sinful habits. Say, but preacher, what do people remind you of what you used to be? Brother, get away from them. That's the plague to me.
Right.
Amen. Hey, listen, that's the devil's job. Hey, nobody has to remind me of that stuff. The devil is pretty good, proficient at it. But I figure anybody that reminds me is one of his cohorts, so I have nothing to do with them. Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you what, listen. Number two is this, never look back to the uncertainty, to the doubt of the lost condition. I'm going to say this. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, all right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know why I rejoice? Because I am saved. I'm 100% sure I'm saved. There's no way in the world that all the devils in the world, there's no way in the world that anything, anywhere, anybody can take from me the certainty that I'm saved.
Amen.
Say, preacher, do you know for sure you're here? I think I'm here. But I could be dead just like that. And then I'm not here anymore. But if I'm ever not here, I'll be there. So how do you know that? Because I know. Because there was a day when I said goodbye to uncertainty and I said goodbye to doubt. Friend, listen, I see folks that profess to know Jesus Christ, profess to be saved, yet they've got their fingers crossed and you say, you know for sure you're saved? And they'll say, well, I hope so. Well, if I confess all my sins, friend, listen, if you got to confess all your sins to get to heaven, it's impossible. You'll never get them all out, friend, listen, because you got the sins of commission and the sins of omission. You'll never get them all.
Right.
Boy, thank God all my sins were cared for at Calvary.
Amen. Right.
And I believe.
Right.
I heard a well-known television preacher. I just happened to get on the van there one day and in the car and had the radio on, and four times I heard this fella somewhere out of Texas. Some of you may have listened to him. It starts with an H and ends with an I, and in between there's an Aggie in there. And he was in there talking, and he was talking about grace and talking about sin. He was letting folks know, hey, listen, hey, grace is only good for so much. And there's a little bit you got to do, because grace ain't going to get you all the way there. Listen, grace has led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Amen.
Grace alone.
So, preacher, well, if I believe that, I'd just do sin all I want to. No, if you believe that, you wouldn't want to sin no more. Amen. You'd want to seek a city.
Amen.
Heavenly city.
Right.
No true Christian runs around boasting about how much sin they can do. Amen. That's foolish talk. But nor do they run around saying, boy, Brother Mullins, I hope I get there. You know what? Worst testimony than me going out and getting drunk would be for me to not tell folks and not give folks the assurance that I know where I'm going when I die.
Yeah.
Someday you'll die. Someday come time to die. One of the greatest things you can do when that doctor says, hey, this is it. There's no cure. Just say, Doc, I hate to hear that. I like living. Cheryl, Lorraine, I remember going to see Cheryl when he was in the hospital dying. They tried to get his pulse. They checked everywhere on him. Couldn't get a pulse. Called another. He's laying there with his eyes wide. I could have told him he was alive, but they still making sure. Couldn't find a pulse. 5 or 10 minutes. Finally, one of them found one. They said, okay, you're alive. Well, he was talking to me. I knew he was alive, but they had to find a pulse and check it, and he left, and he told me this. Lorraine, he said, I'm not afraid to die. He said, I'm not worried about dying. He said, the only thing is, he said, I'll miss being a part of things. I understand that. Amen? And if the Lord let me, I might peek down, check in on things every once in a while, see how things are doing. If I don't like what I see, I'm going on back. Amen? But I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to come down into my life and the devil to fill me with a bunch of doubts and uncertainty. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed in him. You ain't going to change my mind about it. I'm not going to look back to uncertainty. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was settled. And I'm not looking back to those days. Amen.
Right.
I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because I'm saved. Number three is this. Never look back to the ways and to the attitudes of the flesh. This is real important. Listen to me. What I want to talk about just for a minute is our attitude. I tell you, that old flesh attitude, that old sin nature, that old bad attitude, it comes out quite too often in all of us. Man, I tell you, all I have to do is get in the car and drive down the road and look ahead of me and see somebody on a bicycle. And they won't get out of the way. And I want to run over them. My first nature is run over them. I left here today to go to Kanawha City to pick up the kids. And I went down the hill here and I seen four cars following some guy on his motorcycle. We're in the middle of the road. I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. That's right. I'd love to ride a bicycle, but I don't want to be in nobody's way. I hate being in the way. Because I know how I feel when I see somebody doing that. But listen. You know what? That ain't right for me to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. I don't know how I want to feel. but I'd like to get to the place where as a Christian, I look at every situation the way Jesus would look at it. Wouldn't it be something to look at every bad thing and every situation? Man, it humbles you. Somebody does you wrong. They spit on Jesus. They despised him.
And old Pilate, that wicked judge, was watching when they lied about Jesus and they spit upon him. And he said, I find no fault in him. As they made accusation, not one time did Jesus ever slant an eye in such a way that would cause that judge to think that he was guilty. He stood there with such a countenance on his face as they hurled lies at him and actually smote him. And that wicked judge, who had no spiritual discernment, looked at him and by the look on his face said, I find no fault in him. Well, I'm dead sure not like that. That'd be a wonderful thing if we were. When we revile not again. Never look back to the attitude of the flesh. You know, I mentioned my dad a minute ago. I seen my dad change through the course of his life. One of the greatest changes I seen in his life was his attitude. There was a time to snap of fingers, Dad would be ready to jump on somebody. But he changed. He got a sweetness about him. A sweetness that only come from Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, this old world knows all about meanness. It knows all about retaliation. It knows all about bitterness. And a whole lot of Christians know way too much. But this world knows very little bit about genuine kindness and Christianity and tenderness. And I tell you, that's one road that I want to plow so that my kids can see that. And I want them to be able to, I want that road to be straight. I want to be the same at home and at church and everywhere else. I want that road to be right. I don't want to look back to the sin nature. Number four is this. And this is kind of redundant, I suppose. I said, number one, never look back to the sinful habits. Look to Jesus. Never look back to the uncertainty, to the doubt of your lost condition. So, preacher, what's wrong with that? I just want to make sure, because you're selfish if that's your attitude. See, if you're always worrying about whether or not you're saved, whether you got it, you won't be worrying about your neighbor. You need to accept that you're saved and then start telling other people about it.
Yeah.
Never look back to the attitude of the flesh. And number four, and I'll close, is this. Never look back to see if you're plowing straight. Say, preacher, shouldn't I inspect myself? I do very little of it. I fail often. If you're honest, you're going to admit the fact that you fail. Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mentioned this to you in a day. I've watched some sports. I like all competition. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But the key is you got to keep playing. And you're going to win some, and you're going to lose some. And don't look back and say, oh, man, look at what I got that rope. By the time you look back and complain and get discouraged, man, you're halfway across the country. Because the show don't stop. I mean, while you're looking back about your failures and your fault, listen, hey, just look back over your shoulder and say, man, I blew it back here. Just get back to Jesus. Because you see, if the devil can get you looking at yourself, you ain't going to plow straight.
That's right.
Because the Bible says looking into Jesus. See, the most important one to look to is Jesus. Always look to Him. I've been talking here about election. I've been talking about how God saves us and how as the elect we're to be an example. Well, I believe we're right on that theme tonight. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
I want to plow straight furrows. I want to plow a straight path. Man, I've seen far too many Christians. I've seen far too many preachers. For whatever reason. What are they even doing? Oh, they're sowing some seed and they're making rows. But what a mess. What a mess. Why not just plow straight furrows? Keep looking to Jesus. And so that He can get some glory out of your life. Not that He's always got to be trying to correct our messes. Just look to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
Listen, I hope you get that. If you failed, if you faltered, forget about it. Don't dwell on it. Say, God, help me to quit. Help me to do right. 1,000 times in my Christian life, I've said, Lord, I've done it again. As a teenager, I went to my Bible and I circled, as a teenager, young man, I circled Psalm 51, where David talked about his great sin. And I circled that and I wrote beside of it my psalm. Because how many times I'd read it and say, Lord, I've done it again. I failed again. Restoring to me the, not salvation, restoring to me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation, because I didn't purchase it. Jesus did. Amen. Time and again I've read Psalm 51. Say, well, that was then. You don't have to read it anymore. I still have to read it. The only difference is I don't, life goes, it's going too fast for me now to spend too much time looking back at my failures. I don't know how much time I have. I'm just going to keep pressing toward the mark. And whether I'm halfway through or three quarters or what, maybe I might be almost there. I just want to keep my eyes right on Jesus. Because I found out, and Jabe, you've seen it, if I put that front wheel in the right spot, Jeff, you know, probably you've seen, you know what I'm talking about. You put that wheel in the right spot, and keep that wheel in the right spot, you don't even have to look back. You'll come out the right destination. And all I can do is every day open my Bible up, put the wheel in the right spot. Say, Lord, I probably made some mistakes yesterday. But let's get the wheels lined up today. See how we can do today. His mercies are new every day. I'm glad for a God like that. Amen. He overlooks my faults and failures. And the truth of the matter is, even though it got Mitt Romney in trouble this week, my days are kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch. He said that his campaign manager said he was like an Etch-a-Sketch. When he got into the presidential primary, you just shake it up and start all over. You know, now then he can be a liberal again, which he's a liberal already. Amen. I don't know how Mormon's going to be the take care of the military anyway, but that's my political stump. I just don't know if we're in a mess is what I'm going to get on to you by that. Amen. We're in a mess politically in this country, but we can look to Jesus. Amen.
That's right.
But I am glad every new day the Lord shakes it up and says, here, start again. Start again. I'm glad for that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I pray every one of us here as Christians would just plow on, make straight furrows. God, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and our heart right with you, Lord, every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you take a moment, if you'd stand with me. Pray where you are. If anyone would like to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome. But I want you to take a minute where you're at and pray and ask God to help you to keep on course. Keep on course. Amen. You can't really even, when you're trying to plow straight, you can't even really look away for 5 seconds. You can't worry about it either. You can't let your mind drift. You just got to keep your will in the right place and keep headed for that mark. And when you get to the end, you can look back and say, huh, that does look pretty good. But wait till you get there. Amen. And at the end of life, you can look back with Jesus, and that's really going to be fun. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Dear God, regardless of yesterday, regardless of the days before, from this point on, I pray some of us would determine to let you clean the slate. And Lord, we would plow forward and plow straight rows until the day we die. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy that allows us to do that. Lord, thank you for your grace that will go back and drag the thing clean and let us start fresh and new. I don't understand that, Lord, but I'm thankful for it. And God, I pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And if you have an offering tonight, the plate's up here. And we'll do that. Amen.